Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm happy and excited to have Arielle Ford as my guest for today's show. Arielle Ford is a love and relationship expert and has spent the past 25 years living and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. She is the author of 10 books, including the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. Arielle's new book, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, offers groundbreaking shifts in perceptions on how to transform your relationship to a deeper, more loving, and more fulfilling lifetime love. Arielle has been called the Cupid of Consciousness and the Fairy Godmother of Love. She lives in La Jolla, California, with her husband's soulmate, Brian Hilliard, and their feline friends. During today's show, we'll be talking about Arielle's inspiring new book, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, which is a practical guide to happily ever after. Please join us for a conversation about how you can have a more loving relationship and live a happier life. Welcome, Arielle.
Thank you, Margot. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. It's always fun to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have always had fun every time I've talked with you and Brian both, and having you both on the show the other two times was wonderful, and meeting you two in person at the end of June was really fun as well. You two are just as much fun in person as you seem to be on Facebook and as you are on my radio show. It was really cool because I really could feel how authentic you both are, and that was really great. And I just would love to say a real quick hello to Brian and hello to Dudley, because they're probably both listening.
Yeah.
Well, now I'd like to get going with talking about your book, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. I really, really love the cover of your book, and I keep looking at it as I've been reading it, and I'm wondering, I'm so curious, how did you come up with the title, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, after my book, The Soulmate Secret, came out about 7-8 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who's been married forever, and she said to me, well, it's really nice that you wrote this book for single people, but when are you going to teach me how to turn my mate into my soulmate? And the title just really stuck with me in my head for years, because I kept thinking, well, that's really the obvious, you know, next book is, you know, because finding the soulmate's actually the easy part, but learning how to live with them requires a whole different skill set. So about 18 months ago, my publisher sat down with me and said, okay, we want another book from you. What are you going to write? And at the time, I was thinking, oh, I'm done, guys. I don't have anything else to say. I don't want to write another book. And they were so funny. They said, well, just pretend. Like, if you were going to write a book, what would you call it? And then the title came back to me. Oh, Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. And it's like, yes, that's it. And by that point, I had done 130 hours of one-on-one interviews with all of the world's leading love, marriage, and relationship experts, because each year I do this online series called The Art of Love for Evolving Wisdom. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I actually have all this information, because every time I interviewed an expert, I would then go and road test in my own relationship the best information I'd gotten from them, and I knew what worked and didn't work. So that's how this latest book came about.
Wow, what a great story. I just was so curious how you came up with that title. And I love also the subtitle, A Practical Guide to Happily Ever After. And you talked about that in the beginning of the book, about how people expect to get married, like, you know, get the soulmate, get married, and then all of a sudden it's going to be happily ever after. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, like a lot of people, I bought into the whole myth of happily ever after. You know, oh, I found my soulmate, we fell in love, it's going to be easy and effortless because we just totally get each other, understand each other. And, of course, reality sunk in afterwards because, as everybody knows, when you're in love, or what they call the honeymoon phase, mm-hmm. your brain is flooded with all these feel-good hormones like dopamine and oxytocin and adrenaline and vasopressin, and you're, you know, this cascading hormonal state that I like to call the socially acceptable form of insanity. You know, we are literally crazy in love at that point. But it doesn't last forever. It lasts somewhere between 6 and 18 months, and then it's gone. And even newlyweds, you know, have these moments where they start to think, you know, is he really my soulmate? Is she really mm-hmm. my soulmate? Did I make a mistake? You know, it wasn't supposed to be this hard, because our perfect person suddenly becomes perfectly imperfect. And most of us don't have the skills to navigate these difficult times. So, you know, it's what I really want people to know is mm-hmm. first and foremost, you didn't make a mistake. This is totally normal. But what you have to do at this point is get some skills, because in order to have a long-term happy marriage, it has to be more than chemistry and hormones. You need connection, compatibility, great communication skills, and mm-hmm. probably most importantly, a shared vision for the future. You know, and mm-hmm. even if you don't come into the marriage with any of that, most of this can be created and learned.
That is so true. Dudley and I have been married 33 years now, going on 34, and so we've definitely been through that beginning phase that you were talking about, and when you were mentioning it, I could remember that so well. And I think ours lasted a little longer than the average, but there did come a time later when definitely needed to start looking at that in some different ways, and I've written about some of that in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, because the thing is that relationships can be tricky. And sometimes I remember Wayne Dyer saying a long time ago that your soulmate's the person that drives you most crazy, not the one that where you go, oh, I found my soulmate. They like to eat the same things, and we all both get up early, or we both stay up late, or whatever.
That actually, Margo, is not called a soulmate. It's called a clone.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree with him, because, you know, a soulmate helps you grow. And
right.
So because of that, they can also push buttons of yours, and they can help you see parts of yourself that you didn't want to see and need to see, and so many things. So that brings me into the what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, you know, Harville Hendrix, who's one of the world's great marriage researchers, and Oprah calls him the marriage whisperer. He says we have a built-in mate selector, and that our unconscious mind falls in love with the person who has the playbook on how to push all of our buttons, because the real purpose of taking sacred vows and being married is to kick up all our childhood wounds for healing. That it is the purpose of marriage for us to heal and become whole. And what most people don't talk about when they talk about soulmates is the healing nature of the relationship. Healing both in a really fun, joyful, blissful way, and healing, of course, as personal transformation can be, sometimes dark and painful. So when I asked Harville, I said, well, how do we know if we're in the right relationship?
Yeah.
Once he stopped laughing, what he said to me was, you know you're in the right relationship when it starts off as a dream come true and eventually devolves into your worst nightmare.
Wow.
And that is normal. But we live as like it's not normal, that something's wrong. But it's not. It's just how it's meant to be.
Well, I think that it's wonderful that you've written this book, because, there's so many parts of it that I had learned in a variety of ways from so many different treasured teachers and mentors, and conferences and books that I've read. I've always loved books. It's always been a really favorite thing of mine is books. And the quote that you have from John Gray on the back of the book, I really like to read that here, because John Gray, author of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, helped me realize how differently also that men and women think. And he said, Arielle Ford helps us move past the unrealistic expectations and myths about love, romance, and happily ever after. In their place, she offers a simple and immediate ways to breathe new life into old relationships and build bridges between the very different ways in which women and men see relationships. And I really believe that your book here is just a manual that I think everybody who is, whether they're just living together or married, can benefit from. And also probably people that are single could, because they would start seeing what goes into it.
Right, because even in the dating process, it's important to understand that men's brains are wired differently from ours. Most women
mm-hmm.
don't know that. What they
mm-hmm.
also don't know is that men choose a woman, a mate,
mm-hmm.
not based on how much money she has or how beautiful she is or how well she cooks.
Mm-hmm.
They choose a woman based on how they feel around her. And what they also don't know is that the way to make a man feel great is
mm-hmm.
men are wired up to win. They want to
mm-hmm.
be your hero. They want to know how to make you happy, and they need you to acknowledge and appreciate and respect them and let them know all the time, every day, how happy you are to be with them and how much you appreciate them.
I think that is so true, and I also think, though, that I think women need to be appreciated, too, and to know that they appreciate what we do and feel good about being with us. So I think that's, to me, that's really a people thing more than it is just a man thing. So what else makes it a man thing, though, besides just the fact that it's appreciation? It's the respect.
Well, the thing that
right?
really what they found is the thing most men want more than sex is respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I remember reading that in your book and thinking, wow, you know.
I know,
it
knocked my socks off. And I actually checked that out, and it is true, you know. So, and the other thing is that they do want to make us happy. And, you know, I have women say to me, well, I tell them all the time what it is I need and what I want, what I desire. And
mm-hmm.
I just say to them, yes, but in what tone of voice? Because if you're yelling,
mm-hmm.
screaming, bitching, moaning, complaining, they tune
mm-hmm.
you out. You become mommy. They can't hear you. So really, you know, learning how to understand men, learning that you can really only ask them one question at a time and
mm-hmm.
then give them all the time they need to answer, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to make a request or a desire, you have to do it in a very particular way and in turn your mate into your soulmate. I actually give you scripts on how to do this. Ways that work and don't work. So, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, I thought he was my soulmate, now I'm not so sure, maybe the grass is greener somewhere else.
Right.
Here's some important information I want to share with you. So most of us already know that 50% of first marriages end in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But what you probably don't know is that 64% of second marriages and 73% of third marriages end in divorce. So you're better off committing to take 6 months to take daily little baby steps to reignite and re-envision the one you have than,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking the grass is greener somewhere else, because chances are it's not. Now, why is this? Because you are going to be the same person in the second marriage and the third marriage. So I'm not
Isn't
saying
that the truth, yeah.
Right? I'm not saying you're the whole problem, but chances
no.
are you're 50% of the problem. You know, now the
yeah.
only place I would say that this is not true, and where don't bother reading my book, if you're in a relationship where there's abuse or addiction
mm-hmm.
or really bad behavior, my
mm-hmm.
book can't help you. What will help you is a professional licensed psychotherapist who's well-trained to deal
mm-hmm.
in these issues. But if you're frustrated, disappointed, angry, upset, bored, whatever, mm-hmm. I have amazing information in this book with 16 really fun exercises that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those who are sitting out there pissed off thinking, well, why do I have to do all the work?
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Because I'm going to give you lots of reasons. The first one is right now you're the saner one in the relationship. You're the mm-hmm. one that's unhappy. And you can turn this around. Why else do you want to do this? Because of the science that's been done on what is known as the marriage effect.
Hmm.
The marriage effect has studied couples, and people who are happily married heal faster and live longer. So if your goal is to have a nice, long, happy, healthy life, the number mm-hmm. one thing you can do to ensure your future is to mm-hmm. build a happy relationship.
Wow. Well, that sounds really true to me. And, you know, the time is absolutely flying by. And before we get into the next topic, I'm going to go ahead and tell everyone who's on next week. And that's going to be March 2nd, 2016. My guest will be Paul Leffenegger. And I don't know if you've heard of him before, Ariel.
I don't know him.
Yeah, he's a Canadian-born, multi-award-winning singer-songwriter inspiring global love and kindness from within through his music. And we'll be talking about how he's living his music, and I'm going to play a beautiful song by Paul during the show. And also, I want everyone out there to think about these questions while you're listening to the rest of the show today. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, and Ariel, you know, what you're doing with this book and with The Soulmate Secret and Wabi Sabi Love, you're helping people have better relationships, and that is just such an important thing. I think that is the most important thing that people can do, is to learn how to have good relationships.
Yeah,
and not just
and
with love
I just
relationships,
read a,
you know, all relationships.
Oh, yeah, no, I just read a study from Harvard yesterday. There's been a study going on for 75 years.
Wow.
Studying two groups of men, Harvard graduates, and then men with a high school education who work in blue collar. And over the 75 years, what they've discovered is that the number one predictor of a long life and happiness is a great relationship. It's not money. It's not career success. It's not fame. It's a great relationship. So for, you know, your listeners who are out there, you know, exercising every day, eating organic healthy food, drinking green drinks, chanting, praying, meditating, you can be doing all of that. But if you're having really toxic, judgmental thoughts about your partner, you are wiping out all of the good you're doing for your body, mind, and spirit. Because there's research that shows that toxic, judgmental thoughts, angry thoughts, suppress your immune system for up to 7 to 8 hours when you're having these thoughts.
Wow. I had heard that they did. I hadn't heard how long it did.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, when you're feeling that way, how can your immune system be doing a healthy thing? It just, ooh. To me, communication has always been one of the things that I feel is the most important in life, in being able to be happy with ourselves and to enjoy life and to enjoy time with other people. And I think that's something that we can never get too good at, is communication. And so I think any book or workshop that helps with that is so important. And I think we all need reminders, because we all get so busy we forget.
Yeah, and you know, really, you ask people, well, what's the most important thing in your life? And they say, oh, my relationship. And then when you examine, like, where are they putting their time and energy and attention? It's anywhere but. So I think we have to sort of retrain ourselves. You know, and one of the easiest things to do is to give your partner 5 appreciations every day. You know, like make it on your to-do list. Yeah, just constantly look and see, you know, what could I say to Dudley today to really acknowledge and appreciate him? You know, I did this with Brian the other day. I said something to him. It's like, oh, thank you so much for da-da-da-da-da. I don't remember what it was. And then he turned around and he said, well, that's one. Where are my other 4?
So and Dudley's going to probably be saying that to me later, too, now that you said it's supposed to be 5.
Yeah, but it goes both ways. He's got to give you 5 appreciations, too. Because as we all know, what you put your attention on grows. And, in fact, there's scientific evidence for this. There's a researcher at the University of Buffalo who did a study on couples who deliberately choose, consciously choose, to wear rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And what she found was these couples have longer, happier, more satisfying marriages. And the reason is because they're always looking for what's right instead of looking for what's wrong.
Oh, that is that explains so much to me, because looking for what, well, you're right. I mean, whatever you think about expands. And so if you're thinking about the 1 or 2 things that drive you crazy about somebody, that's all you're going to notice when there's maybe out of 10 things, there's 8 or maybe even 9 things that you really enjoy.
But not only that, if there is something that's driving you crazy, you can transform it without them having to change. You can actually make up a new story. Let me tell you a quick story about this. So I was teaching in Sun Valley, Idaho, and I gave the people in the workshop this exercise to do based on what I call wabi-sabi love, seeking to find beauty and perfection and imperfection. And at the end, this woman stood up, and she said to me, well, I've got a problem even you can't solve. I was like, okay, throw it at me. She said, well, my name's Stephanie, and I've been married to Garth for 16 years. And he is just a total slob. She said, I'm a neat freak. I'm a perfectionist. I like everything in its place. And he's chaotic. She said, fortunately, he works out of state 2 weeks of every month. And when he's gone, the house is mine, and it's pure and pristine and beautiful. But when he comes home, within hours, it's a mess again. And it's just never going to change, and I've even thought about leaving him. And I said to her, well, Stephanie, do you have a dog? And she said, yes. Does your dog shed? Yes. What do you do when the dog sheds? Oh, I vacuum up after him. Stephanie, do you love your dog? And she got really quiet. And then she said, oh, my God, Garth sheds. And in that moment, she saw that just like the dog cannot help shedding, neither can Garth help being a messy slob. It's just who he is. So a year after this, when I was writing Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, I thought, well, I got to call Stephanie and find out, was this just a momentary aha thing, or did something really change? So I called her up, and I said, how are things with Garth? And she was like swooning. Oh, my God, they've never been better. We've never been happier. In fact, he quit his job. He doesn't go out of state anymore. He's now working from home so we can be together 24/7. And he's still a slob, but now I just understand he sheds. Now, did Garth change? No. Her story changed. She realized that his messiness was not a reason to not love him. Just like when a dog sheds, the dog can't do anything about it. It's just who he is, right?
Right.
And she was more than happy to vacuum up after the dog, you know? And probably even if Garth did change, it would never be to her level of perfectionism.
And that brings up another point, too, that I remember reading about in the book, is about perfectionism and about letting go of I like to put quotes around the word need, but the need to be right. And feeling like you need to be right instead of happy. You know, happiness is more important than being,
quote,
right.
Yeah, it's really about, do you want to be loved or do you want to be right? Because I'll quote Harville Hendrix again. Harville Hendrix says, there's no such thing as constructive criticism. All criticism is a form of violence.
Wow.
And when you're correcting somebody, unless it's about something really super important that's going to save somebody's life or help them from, you know, disaster, there's no reason to make them bad and wrong. Oh, you're not right. This is how it is. There's nothing loving and kind and compassionate and generous in being right. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do I want to be loved or do I want to be right? This was actually the subject of the newsletter that I sent out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can read it at soulmatesecret.com. And the other thing is, if you go to soulmatesecret.com, if you want to get the first three chapters of Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate for free, you can click on the top banner and do that.
Cool. Well, I highly recommend everybody does that. And you're right. I did read your newsletter yesterday. That's where I saw that. But it's so true. I mean, you have so many important things to share with people, and I really do hope that they will not only buy your book and read it, but also tell their friends and family members about it, because it could help so many people, Arielle. I'm so glad that you wrote it. And I have to also say, though, that I loved The Soulmate Secret, even though I already had gotten married. I'd found my soulmate. I'd been in all that. Reading it reminded me of so many things that worked for me when I was getting to the point where I wanted to find one. And so, you know, I highly recommend both of those books. I also enjoyed your Wabi Sabi Love. That one was really good, too.
Thank you.
We only have 3 minutes left. What is the most important thing that you'd like to say to the audience right now?
Well, if you were once in love with your mate and now you're not so sure, I would really highly encourage you just to put in a little energy to learn a few new communication skills, because the love is still there. Those feel-good hormones are still in your brain. They're just covered up with the muck of everyday life, of disappointments and anger and upsets. So it can be changed. 99% of the time, you know, unless the relationship's just totally dead in the water, it can be reignited. I've seen it happen over and over again. But it takes a little energy and a little willingness. And I hope I gave you enough information to realize that your future longevity and happiness is at stake. So, you know, see if you can reconstitute what you have. If you can't, you can't. There are soulmate relationships that do come with an expiration date. Sometimes they just end, they're over, and it doesn't mean they weren't your soulmate. It just means it's finished and there'll be another soulmate for you. So that's really the purpose of Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, to really tell you that whatever you're experiencing is most likely very normal, and there's lots of quick fixes.
Oh. And that also brings up the point, which we don't have a lot of time to go over, but that there are more than one soulmate. There is more than one soulmate for people in their life.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, we all have lots of potential soulmates. But the thing to understand is that somebody could appear as your soulmate, feel like your soulmate, but they may not be your best life partner. You know, you may have totally different visions of how you want life to look. So you could have all that chemistry and connection and that feeling, I've known you before, but it's not an indication that they're the best life partner for you.
Well, sometimes I think that when it's like that, it's meant that they're maybe supposed to be a friend or a longtime friend, or maybe even to be somebody that you just learn from. Well, we're almost out of time, and I just want to thank you again, Arielle, for being on the show again and for writing your books and for all you're doing to increase the amount of love there is out there in the world.
Oh, well, thank you. I so appreciate you.
You're welcome. Everyone out there, focus on how you can be more loving and kind. I think that's one of the bottom lines of it all, isn't it, Arielle?
Yes. You know, and for those of you that are single, try to start making lists of all the love that's already in your life. You know, friends, family, coworkers, kids, cats, dogs, and put your attention every day to be grateful of all the love that you really have.
Oh, that's great advice. Well, we're going to be going off air in just a second. So thank you again for being on my show. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I'll be back next week. Bye for now.